Welcome to the I Wonder Doctor podcast with David Rosensweet, MD. I Wonder Doctor integrates traditional and complementary medicine with the goal of helping you to get well, to get healthy. It is designed to be done in real life, in real time, by real people, and seeks to inspire as many aha moments as possible.
Let's talk about leaky gut and autoimmune disease.
So you're making a connection between the gut and things like lupus, right? Like arthritis.
Exactly. Huh. And there's a lot of causes of these illnesses, but I want to focus in on one of them.
Yeah.
And I first learned about it from a mentor of mine who was telling the story of a patient in Tennessee who went to their doctor because they had diarrhea, diagnosed as having amoebic dysentery,
yeah,
and was taking a certain anti-amoebic medication. And months later, he called up the doctor and said, "Is that anti-amoebic medicine good for arthritis? Because for the first time in 20 years, I have no pain in my joints." And boy, did that spark some interest in the medical field. And here's what it's come down to. And I want to illustrate this for you if I can.
Yeah.
And the immune system is not going to tolerate that. And it's going to send out factors that are going to try and identify that amoeba. And it does so, and here I'm going to do an ultra-microscopic view of the cell lining. That's what the immune system encounters, is the outer cell membrane.
Yeah.
And it's going to try and replicate a mirror image of what it encounters, proteins and lipids. And it's actually like a key in a lock. It forms a mirror image, and that mirror image then travels off to the rest of the immune system and says, "See this? We're being attacked by the mirror image of this."
It identifies one soldier and said, "There's got to be a lot of other ones out there like it. Let's go get those guys."
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the body produces a lot of antibodies,
yeah,
and they go tie up those amoeba and prepare them for destruction by the rest of the immune system, for example, the white blood cells.
Yeah.
Antibody response.
Right.
Well, it turned out that the antibodies that attacked the amoeba were similar enough to be able to identify joint protein. After all, an amoeba surface is a cell, it's made of proteins and lipids, for example.
Yeah.
The same antibody that attacked that amoeba identified the patient's own joint protein as foreign.
It looks so much like the amoeba, it accidentally attacked those joints.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it was a provoked immune system. It wasn't auto. It wasn't autoimmune. It was an antibody system that was specifically provoked, and it happened to cross-react with joint protein.
Yeah.
Or with the thyroid gland, for example, or a thyroid globule and a transport protein, or the eyes or the salivary glands, or the skin in the case of lupus.
You're talking about all those autoimmune diseases.
Exactly. And yeah. I'm not saying everyone with autoimmune disease has a particular infection that's provoked this.
Yeah.
In fact, food can provoke it. Remember in talking about what can go wrong with digestion, that the immune system can have to attack protein fragments, for example? Common example of this is gluten. This is in wheat.
Sure, hear this one a lot. There's gluten-free that and gluten-free this.
Right.
Yeah.
Brand new thing has emerged in our lexicon in America.
Yeah.
For very good reason, because there's nothing evil about wheat.
Yeah.
But it happens to be technically very difficult to digest. Well, picture this. When I was a kid, we added water to white flour, and we formed something that was like a rock.
Yeah, you're
that
talking
glue,
about paper mache.
Gluten, exactly. That glue, that gluten is very intense molecule to break down. It gets partially broken down, and that can provoke an immune response to it, which can be similar enough to joint protein as well and attack joint protein. There's a lot of people out there that when they eliminate gluten entirely, and you have to do it entirely, you can't leave a few specks in this and that, their joint aches go away and a lot of other stuff too. So this is a very important subject.
So it's an ongoing process. Maybe I eat some gluten. The body identifies that gluten, tries to break up that gluten, and the more gluten I eat, the more it says, well, I better go kill everything that looks like this sucker, break
right.
these guys down, and so thus it keeps attacking the joints. You're saying I've got to get rid of, in this case, all gluten, if that happens to be my thing,
right.
so that I'll stop making little replicates that go out there and start attacking the joints.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And really, we're in the general territory of how the immune system can be provoked by specific germs or specific food molecules.
Yeah.
And there can be enough similarity to tissues in our own body that the same antibodies that are protecting us wound up attacking our own body, so-called autoimmune, it's not.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to oversimplify autoimmune because it takes us into this whole area of something called psychosomatic medicine, For example, there are people who have thyroiditis, and when she's talked to them, you see they have trouble expressing themselves through their throat there. And these antibodies do not attack the larynx, the voice box.
Yeah.
And then you help these people psychologically identify their needs, communicate them in a more effective way, speak up, go to Toastmasters, whatever it is.
Yeah, right.
And that helps quiet down their immune system. So we are a very intricate and fascinating and amazing system. And this is in the area of psychosomatic medicine, folks. Might as well get used to it because it's happening. And medical doctors have known about this for a long period of time. So again, autoimmune illness may not be as simple as germs or wheat.
But the takeaway is we can do things to help our autoimmune diseases. If we've got them, we can reduce them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We can heal.
We can heal. Welcome.
Let's continue our discussion of food reactivity and leaky gut and talk about testing.
I guess what comes to mind for me right away if I was watching this is, do I need it? Do I need to schedule it right now? How do I know?
Well, people are inspired to seek professional help if they're not feeling well.
Yeah.
And so then it depends upon who you choose. And if you're going to a traditional gastroenterologist, for example, very often that's a crucial thing. They're going to go through their checklist and rule out the rough stuff.
Yeah.
And then you may go on to people who have focused on this from a functional level, and you're going to run into the testing. They'll know when to test you.
So you mean like holistic doctors, that kind of
thing? That's right. Yeah. Nutritionists.
Yeah.
And they've taken this on as an interest in specialization a lot because it's so epidemic.
Yeah, right.
And these are the milder, less severe diagnoses, but they can be very influential and give you trouble right down to some very significant autoimmune illnesses, as
right.
we mentioned before. And then you turn to where you can get tested.
Yeah.
So I want to review some of these testing with you, actually, that relate to food reactivity.
Right.
Now, this is part of a traditional blood test from a traditional lab, and they're actually measuring gliadin, antibodies to a component of wheat. And they're doing several antibodies here. And in this particular case, this patient does not have significant elevated antibodies. This is a big deal. I mean, if someone has the flu and we measure their antibodies to the flu virus, we're going to see them sky high because their immune system has responded vigorously and is putting out one of the factors to attack those viruses. So
yeah.
If I were to see very high levels of antibodies against gliadin, a component of wheat,
yeah.
That'd be highly significant.
Yeah, right.
And we want to eliminate wheat, that's for sure. Now, let me take you to what other specialized laboratories have developed over the last 20 years.
Yeah.
They're measuring antibodies to, well, this particular lab is 270 foods. And this patient has antibodies, as you can see here, to casein, a product in dairy.
Yeah.
And egg whites, my God, severe levels of antibodies. This patient is having an immune response to eggs. And the same to milk. And then we list a lot of other foods on here. Fish, shellfish, a lot of fruits, a lot of grains, also legumes. And oh, look at that. She's having a moderate response to pinto beans. And also to a couple of her favorite foods, garlic and olive oil.
And this is interesting and rather obvious probably. Even healthy foods, things like eggs, things like olive oil, garlic, we think of these as good. And they are, unless we're allergic to them. And then they're not.
And one of the things that can happen is you can see elevated antibodies to the things that the patient loves the most and is eating the most of.
Yeah.
And why is that? It isn't because the foods themselves, most likely. It's because they're having trouble with their intestinal lining.
Right.
And leaky gut. In fact, let me take you back to what that looks like and also how we can test for it in my own drawing way and the blood vessels.
Yeah.
And we can actually test for leaky gut by feeding a solution that has two different elements in it. One is a very, very tiny molecule called mannitol. The other one is a large molecule called lactulose. And someone swallows that. And, of course, the mannitol is tiny, and it fits very nicely through those nice, tight junctions between those intestinal lining cells. But the lactulose, obviously, as you can see from the drawing, is just too big, and it's not going to make it through there. Now, once the mannitol makes it into the bloodstream, it's not metabolized, So it's going to go out into the urine, and that's what we do. We measure the urine. And a healthy gut lining, as far as this test is able to assess it, we want to see a lot of that tiny molecule, mannitol, in the urine, and we don't want to see very much of that large molecule in there.
Right.
Because, let me show you what happens in leaky gut. You remember this? These spaces widen between these cells.
Yeah.
Now, oops, now that space is wide enough for that large molecule, lactulose, to get into that bloodstream. And again, it's not metabolized, so it's going to go out into the urine. You see a lot of lactulose in the urine, you got a large openings between the gut lining cells. Now, having said that, I used to do a lot of testing on that when I was first finding out about food reactivity and leaky gut. But I came to realize that we could avoid the expense of that, because we can actually assume that there's leaky gut if we see a lot of antibodies to foods. How in the heck did that happen? Those partially digested foods slipped into the bloodstream.
Yeah.
They did that through a leaky gut. And then another way that we can infer it is through stool testing. Got a lot of infection in the gut? That's one of the causes of leaky gut.
And you've taught us it because it's just a clear representation of what happens when those cells are too wide.
That's right.
Yeah.
But we get into cost issues.
Yeah.
And where does we want to spend someone's money? And, you know, that traditional blood test is very often covered by an insurance company. But these newer, they're 20 years old by now, these more specialized labs are not necessarily covered by your insurance. Now, they've proven to be so effective that more and more of them are getting insurance approval, because the insurance company can save a lot of money if they diagnose these things early on before someone's got a severe medical condition.
Yeah, right.
So
figuring out, for instance, that someone has an allergy to olive oil and getting them to cut olive oil out of their diet helps this patient get better and thus not take on more expensive ailments.
And thus not get more inflammation in their gut and eventually have tummy pain and eventually start getting CAT scans and MRIs looking for inflammation and other problems.
Yeah, right.
So insurance companies are definitely catching on to this.
Yeah.
But it's a matter of your personal insurance.
Yeah.
And then there's an efficacy issue with these. Like, if I send any patient to any lab in the United States that does a blood glucose or a BUN or an ALT or liver test, they're always going to get it right all of the time.
Yeah.
But you get into more of these subtle areas, like looking at stool, for example, or these food reactivity tests, we got more of a challenge going on. So if you get antibodies to wheat, for example, in your blood, that's accurate. But if you don't have antibodies to gluten in your blood, that does not prove to you that you're not having trouble with wheat.
Because?
Because there's other ways that we can react to these foods.
I see.
And I'm going to show you how to do it in a very practical test in what's called the gold standard in the world of food reactivity.
Okay, so if these tests don't reveal everything and they cost a fair amount of money, why do them?
Medicine's got a lot of mysteries in it.
Yeah.
And the great thing is a good medical detective called a physician.
Yeah.
Can get many clues this, clues that. Okay, that's enough. We want to try this particular approach to reducing, eliminating your illness. So it's not always, oh, we did test A and you got B and we're going to give you C and you're going to be done. No.
Right.
A lot of subtleties in medicine, as anyone who's ventured down the trail trying to figure something out knows. So these can be wonderful tools. I use them. I love them. And they're not the be-all and end-all, as nothing is in medicine.
Okay, so I'm a person who's listening to this, and I have suspicion that maybe I've got some of the issues we're talking about. And this is sort of going over something we already covered, but I don't go to these labs. I don't discover the good ones from the bad
ones. That's right, you can't.
I discover the doctors who will lead me to these things. And so there's probably a mix
here.
That's
correct.
I probably need to go to someone like a gastroenterologist, maybe.
Well, it depends. I mean, someone who's having significant pain and is not going away, and they'll cross a line where you want to go to the traditional gastroenterologist, for example, because they know how to do the testing that can reveal the rough stuff, the severe diagnoses. And, you know, if that traditional gastroenterologist doesn't find anything and says, well, I'm sorry, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
I've heard many patients be really upset about that, and I always tell them this, hey, listen, go out and celebrate. You do not want a gastroenterologist or any other kind of specialist to tell you, we found something. We found XYZ disease.
Yeah.
Now, that can be intellectually rewarding to the patient for a few moments. Oh, someone knows what's really going on. But you walk out the door and you got, oh, my goodness, I got XYZ disease. No, the very best thing that you can possibly hear from any medical specialist, and it can really clear the deck for you and buy you time, is, gee, we really can't find what's going on here.
Yeah.
You want to celebrate that. Take them out to dinner. Send them a present.
Yeah, right.
It can't be better for you. Okay, it'll leave you with a little mystery, and it'll take you into the area of functional diagnosis.
Yeah.
And then there are a host of physicians, nutritionists, all kinds of people who have taken on assessing these functional.
Okay, got it. Yes. So if it's really bad, I probably want to start with a gastroenterologist.
Yeah.
And then if then nothing severe has shown up, but I still have things going on, then I want to go to a functional medicine doctor.
You do.
And they're going to help me find these tests.
That's right.
And discover little things like olive oil or garlic or eggs or milk, whatever it is that I'm allergic to, and thus I can eliminate them, and thus I can help my gut.
You got it.
Great. Welcome to another episode of I Wonder, Doctor.
Let's carry on with our exploration of food reactivity, leaky gut, and talk about the gold standard way to test, which is called the allergy elimination diet.
Which I might want to call the oi 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 diet, because what I know you're going to go to is giving up some of the people's favorite foods, right? I know you're going to go to dairy. I know you're going to go to eggs. I know you're going to go to wheat.
Yeah. And people who actually have symptoms, have trouble waking up in the morning, are stiff, or going, and there's a multitude of symptoms we can have from an immune response to our food.
Yeah.
They tend to be more motivated to unravel these. And those that do, this can be done at home for no cost.
Yeah.
But let me tell you a story about where I originally learned about this. There's a medical doctor in Dallas, Texas, who has a wing of a hospital that he set up very special. There are no allergens in it. All the air is purified, all the water is purified, it's all organic food. The bedclothes that the patients wear and walk around the ward in, they don't have detergent smells in them, there's no perfume, nothing. This is a pure environment.
Yeah.
And he's receiving patients from all over the world are flying in to do this. They walk in there, they take off their clothes, they get washed off, and they get into this allergy-free environment.
Yeah.
And who's inspired to do that and the costs involved? People who have intractable asthma, for example. They're having a lot of trouble breathing, getting air in, and their asthma medicines are no longer working.
Yeah.
So they want to figure out what are they allergic to. And one of the things they can be allergic to is the food they're eating. So what they do is they go on a distilled water fast for 2, 3, 4 days.
Got it. No food.
Just distilled water.
Just distilled water.
In the air.
Yeah, I breathe.
Purified. There are no right. pollens in that air.
Yeah.
There's no dust in that air.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's highly inspiring because after a day or two or three, they could be breathing freely with no medications. That is wondrous for them.
Right.
And then at a certain point, once the symptoms have calmed down, Dr. Ray starts them on a diet. They may choose the simplest food, for example. The first day may only have carrots in it. And you eat carrots all day long. If by the end of the day you don't have an asthma attack, this person's got a brand new diet called carrots.
They can eat carrots. They know they're not allergic to them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Second day, they add to the carrot diet apples maybe.
Yeah.
End of the day, no symptoms. Keep doing this, starting with the foods that are most known to not be provocative.
Got it.
Get a simple grain like millet in there.
That'd be day three, maybe.
That's right.
Yeah.
And maybe even the least allergenic protein, which is often from lamb.
Yeah.
And you keep going like that until you build a diet.
I see. And until you start to discover ones that do trigger it. Day
That's
15,
right.
maybe I try something. I try avocado, and blam, I have an allergic reaction.
Yes.
And thus I know
That's
avocado's got to be off my diet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've described the highly technical version of it, and I haven't been speaking about the pollen allergies or the dust allergies.
Yeah.
But this, as far as foods go, anybody can do this in their own home. And actually, one of my mentors in the world of allergy and food reactivity and leaky gut said this is the gold standard. Because we don't detect all reactivities by finding antibodies.
Which are the tests.
That's the testing I was talking about.
Yeah.
So, allergy elimination diet. It's free. I often say to patients, look, if you're working and you want to carry on in your life, start with three simple foods that are very, their reputation is very good for not being provocative. I'd say apples, steamed greens, and millet. Graze on them all day long. We don't want you to get calorie deficient.
Right.
You can have enough challenge just doing those.
If I started on the nothing but water and air diet, I might go a little
crazy. You would not go
crazy.
To work after a day or two.
Yeah.
And then give yourself time on those simple foods, because I gave you the extreme example of asthma symptoms going away. Well, that's fantastic. But if you had arthritis for 5 years, it may take you a week or two on a simple diet to see, oh, my goodness, my joints aren't hurting as much.
Yeah.
And that's your clue that you're on the right track. And then there's a side benefit to this, because there's a lot of things that we can all do to improve our health. And eating a very, very simple diet gives the liver this tremendous break, and it allows it to regain some of its oomph. And it's the first major part of a liver cleanse. So,
got it. So it's serving two functions. The diet is helping me to identify what I'm allergic to,
yeah,
and eliminate it from my diet.
Yeah.
And simultaneously, it's also just good for my liver, so I might as well be doing it anyhow.
As a health building technique anyway.
Yeah, got
it. It's not something you live on. I mean, we need protein. We need a lot of variety in our food.
Yeah.
Not a tremendous amount, but, you know, a certain amount of it. So we're not trying to wean you from food. We're just trying to identify you have an immune response to any of it.
And, of course, this means you've got to teach me why I would want to cleanse my liver. That's a question of
its
own.
Well, we'll cover that at another time.
Okay, yeah. Great.
A very big thanks to all the people it takes to produce these. And thanks to you for listening. Be sure to head on over to iwonderdoctor.com for all the rest that we have to offer.